Praise God. You can be seated. It's wonderful to be back tonight, have a chance to worship the Lord, and to see the people still filled with enthusiasm for Christ. I'm glad that the weather has taken a change. Everything was going along real well, and then all of a sudden it started raining, it got cool, and it really made it bad. But we're thankful that the Lord has seen fit to change the weather conditions and give us better weather for our tent meeting. We've had a wonderful meeting thus far, and we still got quite a number of nights to go. We're still looking for the wonderful blessings of Jesus. Glad to see Brother Elrod and the wife back there with us tonight. I think this is the first night they've been here. It's the first night I've seen them. Sometimes the people come in and I don't get to see them, but we're certainly glad to have them to come down and be with us. A lot of times you're out there and I don't see you. Maybe you're out there a night or two before. I do see you. I see Buddy back here tonight with us. Glad to have Buddy Couch with us tonight. I think this is the first time Buddy's been over. Appreciate these people so much. And we've got some relatives back there tonight, too, that's with us. They're back there somewhere. Because they stopped by, here they are right back here. They stopped by and said hello to us just before they came in. We're certainly glad to have them with us. I think this is the first night that they've been with us in the service. I'd like for you to stand with me if you will. And if you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the book of Revelation in the fourth chapter. I'd like to, if I can, I'd like to deal with the book of Revelation, a few nights. We read a little bit from the book of Revelation the other night, and we didn't get to comment much on it, but I wanted to read from it. And from night to night, we'd like to read from it and see if we could draw your minds over into the things of the book of Revelation. You know, I believe that God is going to bless in these meetings. He's already been blessing, but I believe He's going to heal in these meetings. I believe there's people that are going to receive healing and deliverance for their body. And I believe God's going to break some evil spirits off of some people. You know, a lot of people in the world today are bound with demon spirits, evil spirits that need to be broke off of people. There's people that have all kind of evil spirits that don't even realize they have evil spirits, but they're bound with demon spirits. And when they get in the light of the gospel or they get in the presence of the man of God, He picks them up and He can tell that they're there. And perhaps some of you remember on one occasion when Peter was rebuking the Lord Jesus. Just think about a man rebuking God, but he was standing there rebuking the Lord Jesus and had a devil on him and didn't even realize that he had a devil on him. And the Lord recognized the devil and just turned to him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So then we're expecting people to be delivered and blessed in these meetings and our meetings everywhere they have been. And we feel like they'll continue to be. All the way across the different parts of the world, from here to the land of the midnight sun, we've carried the gospel. And over into Norway and down into South America and into the islands. And into Israel. We've been privileged to preach in the land of Israel. And they're wanting us to come back there. And we're planning to get back overseas pretty shortly into India and Africa. And we're trying our best to do all we can by the way of the printed page. But at the same time, on the home front throughout the United States, where and whenever, we're trying to preach to them by radio, TV, and by tent meetings. As much as we possibly can. I want to do everything I can for Jesus because I have a feeling that when we stand before God, all that we have done and all that we can do between now and the time we meet the Lord, that even at that we're going to feel like that we're running real short of what we should have done for Jesus. And I'm going to do whatever I can while I can. Because after a while, it'll be too late to do anything for Him. You know, it's been said that you're passing through this life just one time. And the opportunity that you have now to do something for God is the only opportunity that you'll have. So let's do something while we can. See Brother Lamar out there too. I just spotted him over here. He told me he'd be here the other night, and I kept looking for him. He was a little disappointed. But I see he's out there with us. Lamar just come back from out in Tucson. I looked for him in Tucson, Arizona when we came from California. And I didn't get to see him, so I'd look forward to seeing him here. Appreciate Brother Clyde Sexton, who's been with us a number of nights. Brother Clyde gave us a nice school bus the other day. It is really a dandy. I mean, it is a nice one, and it is really proving to be beneficial to us. We had purchased a Greyhound. We had a Super Scenic Greyhound that we use for our tent meetings, and the people in the area there where we were at, they kept bothering us about it, the school and the city, until we finally just sold it to them. And after we let them have it, we found out how desperately we needed it. So I was praying about one, and I told my wife, I said, the Lord has given me a bus, and I'm looking for it any time. So I told some of them, I said, I believe God will bring it right over here on this lot and park it and give it to us. And so in a few days, here it come, parked on this lot. And our brother came right up and gave us the keys and said, Brother Pike, I want to give you this bus that God's been dealing with me for a couple of weeks. And I thought that was wonderful. The Lord's also made it possible for us to have another Greyhound. It's out in Oklahoma. We'll have to pick it up, but it'll be real beneficial to us because we can always use several buses for the work that we're doing. I want you to really pray for us. I'm going to let you sit down in just a few minutes. But I want you to really pray for us because when we leave here, we're supposed to go down into Old Mexico. And sometimes people can get kind of rough down in that area. They've always entreated us real well. But some folks don't ever get out of there alive. And we're supposed to go down into Old Mexico and have a meeting. We've been down into some of the very worst parts of it, way down to the land of fire, down to Del Fuego, down into Guatemala and Honduras. We've been all the way down through there, just driving and working our way down, preaching. And we've met some pretty rough characters, but God has always taken care of us. But you pray everything will be well in the event that we do go down there. And that the Lord will bless us. All right, let's read from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, first verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now it says a door was open in heaven. Last night we read the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I just want to read a verse here. It says in the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, "But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." You can be seated. I want to say welcome to the tent meeting and to our services. And I trust that tonight that the Lord will bless you. I feel like he will. Everyone that has come yet seems to have been blessed, and we feel that God will bless you. A reading here in the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read that there is a door that is open in heaven. At the end of the church ages, John said, "I looked, and a door was open in heaven." Now, you know, it would be wonderful if we were able just to stay here about 6 months, and we had a congregation that could really sit and listen, and we could take the book of Revelation and teach the book of Revelation, because it is one of the most exciting books of the whole Bible. And it is something that is so real and so wonderful, until I just love to get into it and talk about the wonderful things of the book of Revelation. Now, I know there's people that shy away from the book of Revelation when they go to teach the book of Revelation, but to me, the book of Revelation is not a closed book to me. It is just as open as if you had opened a door, and it is just as plain and clear, passage after passage, as any book of the Bible. And it thrills me to be able to get into it and talk about it, and especially if I can get with people that are spiritually minded. If I can get with people that are spiritually minded and then start talking about it, it really thrills my soul, because the Holy Spirit begins to unlock the wonderful things of God. You know, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. The church of the living God, as a rule, they don't bother with the deep things. As I said last night, the church usually is interested in the shallow things of God, and they won't harass their minds, or they won't press, or they won't search to be able to get into the deep things of God. They just go along, you know, with the shallow things, and that's as far as they get. But you take in school, in college, or wherever, people will spend hours upon hours in research, diligently searching and pressing their minds to be able to get into the deep things of science and to understand the very intricate parts of matter. But, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if people had the same drive and the same concern toward God, and they would press in to really get into the things of God and get down into the deep things of God, to where they could really enjoy the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said one time, "I have many things to say to you," said, "but I can't say them to you because you're dull of hearing, or you can't bear them at this time." But when we really begin to follow the Spirit and we begin to search out the things of God and get out into the deep things, then we really begin to reap the benefits of God. Paul said one time, "Great is the mystery of godliness." And he said, "I am made a steward of the mysteries of godliness." And Paul spoke of his much revelation. And you know, I know that this, when I say this tonight, I'll get a repercussion out of it. But nevertheless, I can say from my heart that God has given me abundance of revelation. He has given me abundance of revelation. In years gone by, you know, way back in my lifetime, I didn't understand revelation. I didn't know anything about revelation. I fasted, I prayed, I sought God. As I said last night, I really called on God. I fasted, I prayed, and I begged God, and I pleaded with God, but I still didn't understand revelation. But one day God spoke to my heart and he said, "I want to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to come and go away with me." And as I begin to call on the name of Jesus Christ, I begin to go into heights and into depths and into strange places. I was like Abraham. I sojourned in a strange land that I was not acquainted with. And I went into places that I knew nothing of, and I entered into places that I had never heard about in all of my life. I went into things that I had never heard any man ever so much as utter. And I went into those strange places, but oh, how beautiful they were. As I begin to get into these places and begin to understand these wonderful things, it was so glorious until my heart was enlarged in such a way, until today my life is filled with the abundance of revelation. And even though I travel from coast to coast in different parts of the world, preaching the simplicity of the gospel and preaching deliverance and praying for the sick and preaching repentance unto salvation, yet I myself, when I get alone with God, I get into the deep things of God, and I go with God into the deep things, and I am the Lord and those that will share them with me in Christ. We get into the deep things of God, and we enjoy the wonderful abundance of revelation. I could write many books. When I say this, this is the truth. I could write many books, and in the entire book after book, never leave the trail of revelation, but slightly as I connected things together, just on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said if all the things that God had done, you know, if they'd have been written and put in books, the world itself would not contain the books. So then the great, wonderful abundance of the revelation of Jesus Christ is in my heart tonight. And there's other people in the world tonight that has gotten into revelation. And they're enjoying the deep things of God. And they're going out into the great places of God. You know, in heaven, so in earth. As something happens in the earth, so does it happen in heaven. Whatever happens in the earth, so it happens in heaven. You know, and if you can get the people's minds together and collect them, you know, into a oneness like it was on the day of Pentecost, when all of them got into one mind and one accord, you know, they got into the mind of Christ and one accord to do the will of God and just to listen and just to do the things of God. If you can get people like that, collect all of their spirits and get all of their spirits together into a oneness and turn those spirits over to God, the Holy Spirit, who is the Father of spirits, then the Father of spirits will begin to minister, and the Father of spirits will begin to feed our spirit and minister to us the wonderful words of life. And so then what we try to do when we come together is either preach a simple message of salvation or try to get over a few spiritual things to those that are able to receive them. Now then, you can desire the sincere milk of the word, or you can do, as the Bible said, the meat belonging to the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. You can have the meat if you're going that way. And the Lord said that he would have us to have meat in the house as well as the milk. So then tonight when we come to you to speak to you, we come to tell you what we understand about Jesus and to love you and to show you the wonderful way of God. But as you begin to feed, as you begin to be eager to hear, as you begin to hunger, as you begin to thirst, then comes forth the Father of spirits and the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak to you. And then it's not Brother Pike speaking to you at all. For the Bible said it shall not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. Let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. And the Bible tells us that ye are the temples of God. Ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God being in his temple, then as you begin to seek God, then God begins to speak, and we begin to hear from heaven. Now that's what it's all about. We come here for one purpose, and that is that we might collect our minds, get into the Spirit of God, get into the mind of Christ, and then tune in on heaven, and let the great Father of Spirits talk through us to you, or talk to you personally about the wonderful things of God. Here we get a good look at something at the end of the church ages. John is on the Isle of Patmos, having been exiled to this little island of Patmos here that's just off of the Mediterranean Sea, a little rocky island there. And here he is on the coast of Asia. He is confined to this little island, and he is there by himself. He doesn't have anybody to talk to. He doesn't have anybody to communicate with. He's just there, just him and the Lord. You know, the best thing that ever happened to a person is to be able to get away from everybody and just get with the Lord. Did you know that? If you can get away from everybody and just get with the Lord, you'll have the best time you ever had in all of your life. I have the best time of my life when I get by myself and when I get with Jesus. And I spend a lot of time by myself with Jesus because we've got a whole lot in common. We like to talk about the same thing. And so then John here being on the Isle of Patmos, the Bible said that while he was there, all of a sudden he found himself in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now then, what we need to do tonight is to come together and get in the Spirit. Isn't that right? The Bible said as Peter spoke to him down at Cornelius's, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And many nights when we're preaching and talking about the things of God, all of a sudden it just seemed like out of nowhere somebody would say, I feel the Holy Ghost fall on the congregation, just like it did in the days of Peter when the Holy Ghost fell on him down there at Cornelius's. And perhaps tonight as we talk here about the things of God, we'll feel that same divine presence of God, and all of a sudden we'll feel the Holy Ghost fall and anoint the minds of the people to hear here tonight. And so then John being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that's what we need to do tonight, beloved friend. We need to press in to get into the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us that men press their way into the kingdom of God. If you get into the kingdom of God, you've got to press your way into the kingdom of God, because you've got to press against your passions, your feelings, your thinking, your ambitions, your desires. You've got to press yourself against all of those thoughts that harass your mind, that tried to tell you what somebody else is saying and what somebody else is doing. You've got to be able to put everything out of your mind and out of your heart, completely get it out of your life for just a moment to where God can get a hold of you. You've got to press against that outer you by the power of the inner you, and being strengthened by the power of the inner man, overcome the outer man until that outer man is swallowed up in the victory of the mind of Christ, and then you can really enjoy being in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now the Bible tells us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, Moses took them a long ways, isn't that right? Moses picked them up down there in Egypt, and he took them a long ways. Mighty signs and wonders, he captivated the minds of the people. He caught the minds of the people. He done great and mighty things, and the people were so fascinated with it that he brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And God told Moses, said, Moses, we're going over to Canaan. And so then Moses headed for Canaan land. He picked the people up and he started for Canaan land. But on the way to Canaan land, he had to go by the way of the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that when he got into the wilderness, that the people began to murmur. They begin to complain. They begin to grumble. They begin to find fault. They begin to say, I don't believe this. And unbelief begin to fill the camp. All of a sudden, Moses found himself in such a circumstance till he didn't know what to do. And he turned to God, and he began to call on God. And God said, because the people have done this, Moses, I am going to let them wander for 40 long years in the wilderness. Now, Moses said, let's go in and take Canaan. Said, God has given us Canaan. And Canaan is an inheritance. God gave it to Abraham, your father, and it belongs to you. Let's go in and possess Canaan. But the people, being afraid of the giants, being afraid of the opposition, they drew back on Moses. They were afraid to go in. They'd heard the reports of the giants, and they were afraid to go in. Did you know a lot of people are afraid to get into the Spirit? Did you know a lot of people are afraid to be spiritual? You can start reading your Bible and somebody will say, don't do that, you'll lose your mind. Don't do that, go to college for about 12 years and you'll be all right. But don't touch the Bible. Now, isn't that pathetic? Isn't that awful? People are afraid to venture out into Canaan land. They're afraid to venture out into the Spirit. They're afraid to get in touch with God. They're afraid to press in and see something spiritually. And they will let the devil talk them into something that really will wreck their minds and really will destroy them, while they leave the very path to peace, the thing that could be a benefit to them and the thing that could help them. People are so easily overthrown and tricked by the devil. So then God said, Moses, take them into Canaan land. Moses picked them up in Egypt, got in the wilderness. He told them, said, now, let's go right on over to Canaan. But the people grumbled and they said, no, we are afraid. But he said, we want to go into Canaan. God has given it to you. But they said, no, we are afraid. And then Moses waxed bold and said, because you've done what you've done, and because you've displeased God, he said, you're going to have to wander for 40 long years in the wilderness. And then the people got afraid, and they said, no, Moses, we've changed our mind. We'll go into Canaan. And Moses said, but you can't go into Canaan. You don't understand. You can't go into something unless God leads you into it. You can't receive something unless it's given to you of God. You can't go into the Spirit unless you go in by the leadership of God. But they said, we're going to get in the Spirit anyway. And what's happened to the world today? Devils and demons and witches. Are you listening? fortune tellers and everything else. Even the presidents of the United States going to fortune tellers. They're turning to every witchcraft, every practice of evil. Why? They realize that there's something in the spirit that they've got to have, and now they're willing to go in to get it, but they fail to follow God, and they're not following the leadership of God, and now they're trying to get in by themselves. And God, when he saw this, he was displeased with them, and God began to slay the people. God got upset with the people, and God turned them to wander in the wilderness. You know what's wrong with the world tonight? They've had a great deliverance. They've had signs and wonders and miracles. They've had tent meetings in the lands, and people have brought about great miracles. God gives healings and he'd give divine deliverance. But the people have not gone on with God to eat and drink and to be merry and to have a good time. And they wouldn't listen to Christ. They wouldn't listen to Moses. They wouldn't listen to the ministry. They mumbled and they grumbled against the Bible and against the truth and against God's ministers. Until God has let them get into an intellectual research, into a scientific circle. They've got into what the old Indian used to call the Indian death march. You know, the Indian would get into that death march. Once they get lost, they go round and around and around until they die. And the people have got into an intellectual wilderness, and they're going around and around and around, and they're dying. They can't find their way out anymore. It's getting to where they can't even find spiritual deliverance anymore. They're depending on doctors and medical aid until they've gotten into such a condition until they're just popping pills all day long, as I said last night. They feel like they can't live unless they've got a pill bottle in their hand. Why is that? Because they're not leaning on God. You say, Brother Pike, that's not it at all. Sure, that's it. The Bible said in the wilderness wandering that when the people turned to God, God healed them. Even after they disobeyed God. And when God lifted up the ensign of the serpent, that when they called upon God, God still healed them. And it's so today that God is still healing, in spite of the rebellion, in spite of the contrariness. But folks, when God healed you, the Bible said, go thy way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now you know a lot of people don't like to accept that. But the Bible says, go thy way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. There will be a worse thing to come upon you if you go and sin against God after that God has healed you. So then tonight, we see the world wandering in a circle. They're constantly going around in the circle of the old Indian death walk. They're continually dying. The hospitals are not big enough. The insane asylums cannot contain them. Even the prisons where they're bound by devils and demons. Prisons are literally running over. There's no way to house the devils and demons. People are being torn to bits. Their minds are being wrecked. Their nerves are being wrecked. Their physical being is actually decaying and caving in on them. And they can't seem to do anything about it. With all of the medical aid, they can't seem to do anything about it. You know why it is? There hasn't been a time when medicine done good. The Bible says medicine doeth good like a merry heart, or a merry heart like a medicine. There has been a time when medicine has done good, but God said in that day there'll be no healing medicine. He said there'll come a day when there'll be no healing medicine. I want to remind you again, children of God, listen. The days of grace offers consolation to the wicked. The days of grace, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that means that even the wicked people can still get a blessing. That means that even the wicked can be in the reign of God. And the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh. All flesh feels the wooing of God and blessings of God. All flesh feels the consolation and comfort and convenience of God. And I'm going to say this, and I know you won't agree with me, but nevertheless, it's so anyhow. While you're living in the day that we're in right now, folks, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. While you're living in this day right here, you're in heaven. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I sure don't believe that. Well, I've said this a lot of times. If you don't believe this is heaven, you wait till you get into hell. And then you can tell the difference. Wait till you get into hell, and then you can tell the difference between heaven and hell. You're in heaven right now. You're in the presence of God right now. You're in what the Bible refers to as the first heaven right now. You've got pain medicine. You can get a shot if you have a pain. You can have a tooth pull. You can go to the hospital. You can have an operation. You can be cared for. You can eat when you're hungry. You can have all of these dainties of life. But brother and sister, they're going to be taken away from you. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that means that you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit and you are in heaven. Though you're not in the third heaven as Paul was, yet you're in the first heaven in that you are in the grace of God. And the grace of God is still allowing for your wrong at this present time in that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And so then you've got it real good. But brothers and sisters, grace is about to run out. You're just about to get put out of heaven. God's just about ready to put you out of heaven. You're just about ready to be put out. God is on the verge of turning you out right now. If you've ever read Revelation 12, if you'll notice that when the woman put her foot on the moon, when the child was caught up to the throne, if you'll notice at that time the dragon went out. It was in Revelation 12 that the red dragon went out of heaven, which means not only are you in heaven, but the devil's also in heaven. The red dragon also is in heaven. You say, Brother Pike, how in the name of reasoning did the devil get into heaven? The devil got into heaven by grace. Did you know that the devil believes? The Bible said if you believe, that's good. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. And did you know that the devil went before God in the days of Job? And did you know that in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 12, that the devil is in heaven? That he's standing there before the woman? You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that that's heaven? Because John said, I saw a great wonder in heaven. I saw the woman with the feet on the moon, and I saw the red dragon standing there, ready to devour the child just as quick as it was born. Is that right? But did you notice that God cast the devil out of heaven? Revelation 4, there was a door open in heaven. Did you notice that at the end of the church ages, Revelation 3, that immediately in Revelation 4, this door come open. Up, John went into heaven in the presence of God. He had been in the Spirit, but now he goes up into heaven. There before the elders, there before the throne, John is standing there to see this great book with the seals to be opened. Here he stands looking at him that is sitting upon the throne. All of a sudden, John standing here in the presence of the Almighty God, standing there in the presence of the elders, he sees these great, wonderful, outstanding things. All of a sudden, the seals are open. John beholds the seals that are open. And when they get down to that sixth seal, John begins to see something take place. He begins to see the heavens roll back as a scroll. He begins to see something that he had not expected to see. All of a sudden, he sees some in the earth that are sealed in their forehead. And then he sees another group of people as he looks away to heaven that's before the throne of God. He looks up into heaven and hears a great multitude of all nationalities, all nations, all people before the throne of God. And then he looks down into the earth and hears a group of people, 144,000, that's being sealed down in the earth. Something is taking place. John has seen a door open in heaven. What a great thing. Here is a door open in heaven. John has gone through this door. But did you know that that door didn't open at the end of the church ages? That door wasn't open at the end of the church ages. That door was open at the beginning of the church ages. Just before they set in, the Lord gave Peter the key. And Peter opened the door to the Gentile church. And Peter opened the door to the world. Because there was a door open in heaven. There was a door. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door to the sheepfold. And the door was open as he hung there upon Calvary. And the veil was rent in twain. There, John saw it in the sixth seal of the opening. For he said, the heavens opened up. The veil rolled back. And the ark of his testament was seen. Here, the veil rent in twain. Those people that were intellectual, those people that were natural-minded, those people didn't understand. As the Son of God hang there upon Calvary, the temple of God, the great Holy Spirit in his fullness, dwelling in tabernacle in the body of his Son, there he hung upon Calvary. There hung the great Jesus upon Calvary. And the door was about to be opened in heaven. For there it was, the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sending forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law. There He was, hanging upon Calvary. There it was, the fullness of time. Here Peter is proclaiming, you know, the people upon whom the end of the world have come. And here Jesus hangs, and all of a sudden the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. The veil was rent in twain. Now what a beautiful picture. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? A door opened in heaven in Revelation 4. What do you mean Jesus said, I am the door? What do you mean when you say this door was opened before the church ages? What are you trying to tell us here? I'm trying to say that the same Jesus, the Bible said in the book of Acts that He made in Himself twain, which means two. Peter said He made Himself both Lord and Christ. And there had to come a time when God would hang Him upon the tree. And when God would hang Him upon the tree, He would rent in twain the Lord and the Christ. He would separate the Lord from the Christ. He would separate the body from the spirit. He would rend the temple in twain. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said that they did not know that He was speaking of His body. But they, being natural minded, thought He was speaking of the natural temple. But when the veil of the temple was rent in twain at Calvary, and the Lord was separated from the Christ, the Spirit was separated from the body, having made in Himself twain, and God rent it in twain. When the Spirit was separated from the body, or the body from the Spirit, all of a sudden here we see the glory of God, and down on the earth the same temple that had had a veil in the days of Moses was rent down the middle. All of the things of the Old Testament being a type and a shadow of those things that was to come. Here we see the great mystery of God healed and concealed within the great powers of the Christ. All of this being a shadow and a type. Here, the Ark of the Covenant in this little 10 by 10 of the tabernacle of the wilderness. And here in this little 10 by 20, only the sons of Aaron could go into that, the priest. But beyond that, as the veil would be rent, only the high priest, Aaron, on the 10th day of the 7th month could enter into that. And that with blood. He had to go into that wonderful place. He would take the blood. He would go into atone for the children of Israel. And He would take this little censer. And He would take this perfume that they were forbidden to make. No one could make it. It was only made for the use of God. He would take this wonderful, sweet-smelling perfume. He would mix it with the coal off of the little altar. And He would take the blood from out here off of the big brazen altar. And here He would go into the holies of holies, dropping that little coal in that censer. All of a sudden, this great, beautiful vapor would arise and fill that great place in that little tim-a-tim. And the glory of God, as was represented by this great fog-like appearance, this thing being a type of the Holy Spirit separating the man, the priest, from the wrath of God, keeping him from the wrath of God, as the little bells on his skirt jingle as he went in making a joyful noise in the presence of God. What a beautiful sight it was in his beautiful garments. Much could be said about it in detail. But here he would go in there, making that atonement. How beautiful it was to let us know that someday there would be a door that would be open in heaven. Someday there would come a high priest that could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And someday that great high priest called the Holy Ghost, that great Christ of God, would rend himself from the veil of a human body and go into the very presence of Almighty God and take his own blood from the lamb that hung there upon the tree of the great big brazen altar of the evening time sacrifice. That he would take his own blood as a lamb without spot and without blemish and go right into the presence of Almighty God. And they knew that if Aaron went into this place, that if Aaron tarried very long, when he come back out, it meant the wrath of God and it meant sorrow. It meant trouble. But if he returned hurriedly, everything was right. And you know, I like the thought right along here, because when Jesus ascended up into the heavens about 10 days later, he came back on the day of Pentecost and entered into my heart. He came back on the day of Pentecost and entered into the church. He wasn't gone but about 10 days, and then he returned. And there's been rejoicing and joy and jubilance and glory ever since. Hallelujah. He did not stay very long when he went into the presence of God, but he came right back to the saints of God. So we know that there's peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We know that there's great joy for the church. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. That Jesus has never yet returned to the world. That Jesus is still tarrying long. That Jesus has never come back to the world yet. That means that there's wrath and there's trouble and there's turmoil. Because if he tarries long, then that means there's problems that's coming. And he has never yet returned. But one of these days he's coming back, and you're going to see him in the clouds of heaven. And he's coming back in the wrath of God when he comes back into this world. A door being opened in heaven. John seeing it in the sixth seal. It's open. And the Bible tells us that the Ark of the Testament is seen. What a beautiful sight. Here the heavens roll back as a scroll. For the veil is rent in twain. That great Shekinah of God that they could not look upon in the days of Moses. In that he had to put that veil over his face that symbolized the body of Jesus. What a beautiful sight it was now. All of a sudden the veil was taken away. You remember when Moses was on that mountain and Moses said, "Let me see your face, God." And he said, "No man can see my face and live." God allowed Moses to be from Calvary back. He allowed Moses to be from Calvary back toward the garden. He could see the hind parts. He could comprehend the law. He could tell what was going on in the back part of God. But he could not see beyond Calvary. He could not see the veil taken off. He had to have the veil on, for he could not see beyond the veil. For no man could see God's face and live. That's why today we that behold the wonderful face of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we must reckon ourselves to be dead indeed with the body of Jesus Christ, baptized in the lovely name of Jesus, buried with him in water baptism, and raised in the likeness of his spirit, that we might see God. For the Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. Hallelujah. But Moses could not see him. For that the law tried to free us from, it could not. But that it could not, grace did free us from it. And all things that the law could not free us from, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh condemned sin in the flesh, therefore justifying us in the Spirit, taking away the veil. You remember when Rebekah came across the desert, how beautiful the sight was. See, the woman has always been that had to cover her face. Always shamefaced. Always shamefaced. In that day, they had to cover their face. It was going to have a marriage. The woman had to cover her face. And when she entered into the chamber, there when she would go into the mother's chamber, all of a sudden the veil would be taken off. Now the Bible tells us that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Isn't that right? And the Bible speaks of you being the lively stones. Therefore, entering into the radius of that wonderful Shekinah of God, coming into that great bodily membership, entering into that place, we're able to move that veil from our face. What caused death to begin with? Why was death here to start with? Because of that veil. You know, old folks way back many years ago, if a child was born, he had a veil over his face, they'd call that a veil of death. And that veil that you saw over Rebekah there through the reading of the Old Testament, it indicated the death veil. It indicated your fleshly body. It indicates that your inner man, your living part, is inside of a veil. And this outside veil, this little temple, this fleshly body that you're tabernacling in, that your inner man dwells in, that this outside body is a veil of death. That your intellectual reasoning is a derivative from the tree of knowledge in the garden. And that veil is over your minds. And the great mind of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Word of life that Adam rejected, it can't get to you because of this veil, this intellectual veil. And have you noticed that people are becoming more educated? Gross darkness shall cover the people. All over the world today, darkness is literally swallowing the people up. Why? Because the veil is getting more gross over their face. It's covering them more and more. The Lord said to them, said, "You cover with a covering, but it's not of me. You cover with a covering, but it's not of me." Now let's look at it for just a minute. and see what John meant about a door open in heaven. You cover with a covering, but it's not of me. Here is Adam and Eve in the garden, made in the likeness of the Son of God. Here God made Eve, made Adam. Here they are standing as male and female in the very likeness of Almighty God. God having made Adam out of the dust. Here he is in the very image of God. Now let's look at it for just a minute. What is it? Everything's all right. They're in a paradise. Somebody would say, well, they have eternal life, Brother Pike. No, they don't have eternal life. If they had eternal life, they couldn't have ever died. Because eternal life means you can't die. They did not have eternal life. The very fact that they died proved they didn't have eternal life. But they were in the presence of the great light, the great Shekinah of God, and as long as they abode within that, they could live eternally. Because that great Shekinah, that great light, it was eternal life. But see, just as soon as the weakness of man, which was woman, that part that was taken out of man, now look at it spiritually tonight, just as quick as it was taken out of man, then the devil began to work through the beast, and he began to subdue Adam through the woman. Isn't that right? He began to work through the weaker part. Did you know that God created a man and God created a woman that he might just show you and I by typical source that the man represented God, that the man represented God, and that the woman represented us, our human body, and that the man represented the Holy Spirit, and that the woman represented the human body, that God made a man and a woman for that purpose? And God letting the devil come through Eve to subdue Adam, causing Adam to go out when the Bible said Adam was not in the transgression, that it indicated Jesus who would have to come down into this world, died Calvary among the thorns that they placed him on his head. There, because of the sins of you and I, the weakness of God is man. Did you know that? The only weakness that God's got is man. The only weak part of God is man. And that when we are grieved, God is grieved. The only way the devil can get at God is through this human body. We're the female, but God's the male. Isn't that right? And Christ is born within us. And the Bible said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. So then it is through us that the devil gets through to God. It is through the weakness of the flesh, through the weakness of the woman, that Jesus, or God personified or incarnate in the flesh, had to come down in this world and suffer. And so then we get a beautiful picture here. As Adam and Eve takes the fall, we look and we see the shame of death settling down. We see the shame and evil coming over them. And then we find God strolling through the garden. And all of a sudden the Lord says, Adam, where art thou? And you know, when I get along here, I wished I had time to preach. Because long about now, we've collected the minds of the people and the spirit has begun to move, and we need about 3 or 4 or 5 hours to get into a subject. But right here, and just dropping in a few thoughts tonight, here is Adam and Eve in the garden. All of a sudden, as we behold them standing there, God comes strolling through the garden, and God says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam, he has hid himself among the trees, and he says, Lord, I hid myself. And the Lord said, why? He said, I was ashamed. Why? Because I'm naked. Now I want you to look at it, folks. He said, because we are naked, therefore we hid ourselves. We are ashamed because we are naked. But did you know that that is not true? Did you know that that could not have been true? Because God made Adam and Eve naked to start with, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. They were already naked. They were not ashamed. You know why they were not ashamed? They did not know that they were naked. That's where the trouble come in. Being naked was not what caused it. Knowledge of being naked was what caused it. It was knowledge that caused it. But the Lord said, Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? See, what happened? They had lost their covering. They were naked, all right. But they had already been naked so far as the man and the woman. So far as the natural body, they were already naked. But beloved friend, you know what had happened to them? They had lost the covering of his glory. They had lost the covering of His glory. They were in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. They had lost the garment of God. They had lost that wonderful covering that kept them from condemnation. They were not guilty. They were innocent. They were covered with the innocency of the Lamb of the Holy Spirit. And when they disobeyed God in their unbelief, and when they trampled over the Word of God, they lost their covering. And when they lost their covering, then they felt naked and insecure and felt separated from the living God. That's why they were ashamed. And man has been ashamed ever since. For God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt find condemnation. Thou shalt be ashamed and thou shalt die. Thou shalt die. And oh, the things that we could say tonight about that. But friend, tonight man is still in that same kind of condition. And God went out, He killed a beast, or He took a beast, the skin of a beast, and He covered them over and made them coats. And today man has been nothing more than a beast ever since. Did you know the covering of the trees wouldn't suffice? Maybe one of these nights we'll enlarge on the fact why that the covering of the tree could not suffice. And so then God put them on skins. And today they've been in prison to the beast realm ever since. They have been in bondage to the beast realm ever since. They've been caught in that beast realm ever since. And they've been clothed with skins ever since. And the condemnation has been upon them ever since. And science has tried to prove that they've come from monkeys ever since. I'm glad tonight, glory to God, that everybody's not a bunch of monkeys. I'm glad that there's some sons of God in the world somewhere. And we've said this a lot of times. If they want to come from a monkey and prove they come from a monkey, I have no dispute with them. They should know their relatives. I know my relatives. I came from God. I'm a son of God. Sons and daughters of God are my people. And I didn't come from monkeys. If they come from baboons and apes, they ought to know their family. All right. So then tonight we know our kindred. Isn't that right? John said there is a door that is open in heaven. And here John went up into heaven. What was his heaven? Brother, sister, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is heaven? Heaven is a state of being. Heaven is the Spirit. Heaven is the Spirit. You get into the Spirit. God is the Spirit. Wherever God is, that is heaven. Did you know that? That is heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You say, does that make it heaven? The Bible said you're set together in heavenly places. Somebody say, well, that's a figure of speech, but the Bible didn't call it a figure of speech. You say, but Brother Pike, he meant what he said. Search it out and see. You look for making places, we're in making places tonight. But you can be sure you're not setting in Atlanta places. But if you was in Atlanta, you'd be setting in Atlanta places. When I go to California, I sit in California places. When I'm in Georgia, I sit in Georgia places. Isn't that right? And I'll tell you what, when you get up here where I'm at, you'll sit in heavenly places too. That's right. When Nicodemus came over to Jesus, started talking to Jesus, Jesus said, are you a master of Israel and you don't know about these kind of things? And he said to Nicodemus, he said, no man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And he said, and who is in heaven? You love the Lord? I said, while a human being stood on this earth, that human being said, I've been to heaven. I came down from heaven. And he said, I'm still in heaven. I'm talking face to face with you, but I'm still in heaven. Would anybody want to dispute with Jesus tonight over it? I just took his word for it. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to sit in heavenly places. How do you enjoy sitting in heavenly places? There's a whole lot of wonderful things that God has for us. For great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the wonderful mysteries of godliness. John said, there is a door that is open in heaven. Did you know the Bible said in Revelation 10 and 7, when the voice of the last angel sounded, the mysteries of God should be finished. Did you know that just following that, right on over in the following chapter, right over in 11:15, did you know the Bible said that the seventh or the last angel sounded? After that, he said, when this angel sounds, the mystery of God will be finished. That immediately he said, the last angel sounded.
And you know what the Bible said when that last angel sounded? It said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now I want you to listen for just a few minutes because I'm fixing to close. We're just getting started, but we're going to have to close because it took a long time already. Now just listen for just a minute. Did you know that God spoke this world into existence by His Word? How do you agree to that? When there was nothing, God the Word in the beginning come forth and said, let there be, and there was. Isn't that right? And that world tonight is in existence because the Word spoken into existence. Now, doesn't it sound reasonable to you that if God spoke the world into existence by the Word, that if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that that same God is going to speak the world out of existence by His Word? Did you know that if it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you, that every time God speaks to your heart and speaks to your mind, every time God brings your revelation, every time God opens your understanding, that God is speaking the world out of existence? Did you know that the world exists only in your heart? Are you listening? Somebody say, Brother Pike, you mean God's going to do away with the trees and do away with the earth and all these kind of things? No, my brother. The Bible said God made the earth to be inhabited. One generation comes, another goes, the earth abides forever. He isn't going to do that. But the Bible said in the days of Noah, the old world passed away. When Jesus come and hang upon Calvary, Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Isn't that right? So the world is a system. And did you know that the world is in your heart? The Bible said God has set the world in your heart. And did you know that as long as the world is in your heart, then you're in the world, and you're in control of the world, and Lucifer, the prince of this world, has control of you? Did you know that the world is nothing more than the mind of Satan? And did you know that there's a mind of Christ Jesus? That is another world. It's a heavenly world that He said, I go to prepare for you. And did you know that that is the wonderful kingdom of God? And did you know that God will take the world out of your heart and put the kingdom of God in your heart? Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is inside of you? And did you know that if you have the kingdom of heaven inside of you, you can be inside of the kingdom of heaven? For men press their way into the kingdom. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, and men press their way into the kingdom of God. That door is open in heaven. All you've got to do is come in by the door. Just don't try to get in any other way. So then the world tonight can be spoke out of your heart from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from revealing to revealing, from understanding to understanding, from light to light, as God speaks His Word from within the mouth of the ministry. God will destroy the world in your heart. Now listen, and trying to close. Most people feel that the only real way to get right with God or to get a place in heaven is to die. That's sad, isn't it? But we've been taught death so much until we feel like the only real reasonable way to think about getting into heaven is to die. But did you know that death has nothing to do with going to heaven? Did you know that death is the enemy of God? How do you understand that death is the enemy of God? Death is not the friend of God. God hates death. Death is the enemy of God. How many of you know that God hath nothing to do with death? How many of you understand that God did not bring death into this world? And how do you understand that when you die, God is not the one that killed you? The Bible said death came by you. Death came by you. You're the one that brought death in. Through your unbelief in the garden, through knowledge, you brought death in. Did you know that? Knowledge is what brings death. That's the Jordan that you've got to get over to get into the Canaan land of God. If you go into the mind of Jesus Christ and into the world of Revelation. Dying isn't any good to God. Tell me this. Did not David say, can I praise thee, O God, when I'm in the grave? How can I then praise you if I am in the grave? I cannot praise you if my lips be silent. But as long as I am living, cannot I praise God? Therefore, what good is it to God should I go down to the grave and lay there until I rot? What good is that to God? And how can that bring me close to heaven? When I die, the Bible says the dead knows nothing at all. What good can dying do me? From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But I like what the preacher of the mystery said. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. There's a generation that's going to come to know something, folks, about God. About God. You know, let me say just a few more words, and I'm going to let you go. Just hold tight for just a moment. Here's the Lord Jesus. He goes down into the grave. He dies, as we say. So then he's a candidate for heaven. He went by the grave. But did you know before he ever went by the grave that he walked up on the mount and he transfigured himself and went into glory? He didn't die to get into heaven, folks. He didn't die to get into heaven. He wasn't kidding Nicodemus when he told him he was in heaven. He knows what he was talking about. Isn't that right? See, he didn't have to die to get into heaven. He died so I could get into heaven. He died to pay the price for me to do away with my sins so I could get into heaven. Not so I could die and get into heaven, so I could get into heaven without dying the way that he did. For he tasted death for every man. Paul said this is the mystery that's waiting for a certain generation that's going to learn something. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven because I was born out of season. You love the Lord? I got in on that thing and got up into the third heaven. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You mean to tell me that Paul went up into the third heaven, then come back down here, that somebody can be in heaven and still be walking around down here? Paul went up there into heaven. He came back and he walked down here and then he died. Jesus went up into glory. He came back. He, just like anybody else, he walked around down here. He fellowshiped down here and then he went to the cross and died. Can somebody say, I love Jesus? You mean to tell me that somebody can go over yonder into heaven and come back and walk around down here and still die? They sure can. Oh, Brother Moses did. But did you know that there was such a dispute over his body that the devil couldn't even claim it? How do you know that the grave couldn't hold the body of Moses? When that angel of death came over there to get Moses' body, why, they had a dispute over it. Oh, Brother Moses had been up on that mountain so long without water and food, he'd done passed over the boundaries of the world. When the devil come over there to claim his body, while the angel of the Lord just stuck his finger up and said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan, and took Moses on into glory. You say, I don't believe that. Well, how is it that on the Mount of Transfiguration he was standing over there with Elijah and with Jesus? Somebody would say that was his spirit. How then was it Elijah's body, Jesus' body, and Moses' spirit? That don't add up, does it? That don't add up. It was Moses' body. That's why they can't find Moses' body. Did you know they say until this day they can't find his body? And I've got some news for you. They ain't ever going to find it. You know why? Because it's up here in glory. You know, I wondered for years about that. I said, Lord, what happened to Moses' body? And one day God told me. And I took his word for it. I checked it out, and that's where he's at. He's over there in glory. He's up there in glory. That's where Moses is at. Moses is up there in glory with Elijah. Is that right? That's why they're able to come back in the days of the tribulation. That's why they're coming back in the days of the tribulation. Praise God. What a wonderful thought. Have you got time to listen to the gospel? Said he revealed it unto such as babes if they took time to learn. All they have to do is just take time to learn. Soon the meeting will be gone. The tent meeting will be on its way. We'll be gone somewhere else. But the few words that we can say to you, we'd like to say, and we have many things to say to you, abundance of revelation. But a few things we're trying to say here to put a few thoughts together. Folks, you don't have to die. There's a generation coming on now that isn't going to die. They are not going to die. Now, did you know that psychics already are beginning to say that there is some people in the world that are not going to die? Even psychics are beginning to say that. You know why the psychics are saying it? They said that they have learned that there's certain people that think different, and they've discovered because they think different, they're not going to die. Did you know that, like Oral Roberts made the statement not too long ago, he made the statement that medical science has come to discover that man under the right treatment should live at least 300 to 400 years. Are you listening? They've learned that men's brains don't deteriorate like they thought, and man's organic parts don't just burn up and deteriorate like they thought. There's more to it, folks, than you could imagine. If old brother Noah, brother Enoch, and some of the others could stay around for hundreds of years, then what's the difference? Somebody said, well, God decided different. Then that means his respect to person. He'll let one man live 900 years and he'll kill me before I get 80 years old. You love Jesus? No, he's no respect to person. He's no respect to person. You say, but that was back before the flood. Then it's obvious you never did read anything after the flood. If you'll read, Noah stayed around a long time after the flood. Up in the hundreds. Praise God. Did you know that Moses was 120 years old? Still going strong. You love Jesus? What's wrong with the world today? One thing, unbelief. Unbelief in God's word. There is the word of life, my brother, sister. If you're willing to get a hold of it, you can have it and you can live eternally. But if you will not listen, if you will not believe, then you will perish. The Bible said ye are, and I want you to listen to this good now, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. Are you listening now? You know what a god is? A god is something that can't die. A god is something that can't die. Jesus said, ye are gods, but you're forfeiting your right to it, and you're dying like a man because of the lack of knowledge. And it sure can't be worldly knowledge, because scientists knows about everything. But folks, I'll tell you what it is. It's a God knowledge. The world is ever learning and never able to come to God's truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. That's where the thing is lying tonight. That's where the whole thing is tonight. Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men, because you will not learn. You will not take time to listen. You will not take time to learn. The world is too busy with frolics. It's too busy with sports. It's too busy with television. It's too busy eating. It's too busy drinking. It's too busy giving its opinion. It's too busy trying to tell you that it can't be, and won't take time to listen to you to find out whether it can be or not. You understand what I'm saying? So then, you're gods. I want you to stand with me as I say these last few words here. I want them to come back to the musical instruments. I made a statement last night. When a dog is born, you expect to see a dog. Isn't that right? When a young lion is born over to the zoo, you expect to go there and see a young lion. If an elephant gives birth, you expect to go there and see a young elephant. If a human being gives birth, you expect to go there and see a young baby or a human being. And did you know what? When God gives birth, you expect to go there and see a God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Not after a while, but now. And I said the other night, this is the thing that the world will stone you for. This is the thing that the world won't have. This is the thing that the world will condemn. This was the thing that they wanted to kill Jesus for. When Jesus stood there and said, why do you want to kill me? And they said, for a good work, we don't want to kill you. We've enjoyed the healings and all these other great things you've done, feeding the multitude. We don't want to kill you for a good work. Jesus said, for which one of these good works are you trying to kill me for? We don't want to kill you for a good work. Said, but you being a man, you made yourself God. And you making yourself God, said, for that we're going to kill you. Jesus said, you're not very good Bible scholars. All of you fellas that are supposed to be such great Bible scholars said, you don't know much about the Scriptures. He said, is it not written in the Scriptures that I have called ye gods? Did you know I went back and checked it just to be on the safe side? And if you'll go back and check the Old Testament, you'll hear the Holy Spirit speaking back there saying, ye are gods. Is it not written in your Scripture? Then why kill me, Jesus said, because I say I'm the Son of God. You know why they wanted to kill him? When you say that you're a son of God, you say that you are a God. How could a son of elephant be anything but an elephant? And oh, my friend, how could a son of God be anything but a God? You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. That's why there's going to be a generation that's going to live forever. Did you know Jesus walked right through the wall? Somebody would say, well, that was because he was different. No, it was still Jesus. Did you know that when he walked through the wall, if that had not been the same Jesus that went down in the grave, that would not have been a true resurrection? It was the same Jesus. He walked right through the wall. You know the difference? The world wasn't in his heart. Because Jesus walked through the wall before he ever went to Calvary. Because he didn't have it in there to start with. But I'm saying it for your sake. When he come up out of the grave, the world wasn't in his heart. Therefore, if the world don't exist in you, the world don't exist around you. So there is no barriers. There is no barriers, my friend. What a wonderful thought. The Spirit of God just picked old brother Ezekiel up, took him through the air and set him down in the valley of dry bones. The Lord called out to Elijah and said, son, get on board. We're fixing to take a ride. Old Elijah stepped on the fire chariot and away she went. That bunch of unbelieving people said, you better go look. He fell in the mountain somewhere. No, he did. They didn't have enough faith to believe he got out. You love the Lord? Now, you couldn't hardly believe that, could you? But that's true. They didn't have enough faith and confidence to believe that God could take him out of the world. They said he fell over on the mountain. And the Bible said they actually looked until they were ashamed. Until they got ashamed. You know what they're ashamed of? Their unbelief. Praise God. You love Jesus? All right, while they're playing tonight, there's a lot of things that we'd like to say, brother and sister. But while they're playing tonight, we're going to give you a chance to worship the Lord just for a few minutes before we dismiss you. I only wanted to get over a thought tonight. I went the long way around, but the thought is there is a door that's open in heaven tonight. Until Jesus came, there was no entrance into heaven. There was no entrance. But there's a door open in heaven. Peter opened it at the beginning of the church ages. But the benefit of it is not seen until the end of the church ages. In that we must comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length. As I often say, it was instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was. It was manifested at Calvary. It is comprehended over here in the end time. And the benefits, beloved friend, is when you comprehend that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend that you might go through that door. We can pass through that door tonight by taking on the mind of Christ. We can transformate in our minds. Be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. You could translate in your spirit. You could transfigure in your body. God first, by an instantaneous, miraculous act of Calvary through your faith, the faith of the Son of God that I spoke on the other night, he translates your spirit into the kingdom of God while you're right here in this body. My spirit has already been translated into the kingdom of God. And then God, not instantaneously, but progressively, as a journey through the wilderness, transformates your thinking from day to day through the pilgrimage of your lifetime, all the way from the crossing of the Red Sea down through the wilderness and over the Jordan into Canaan. For through that wilderness journey, he is transforming your mind. For down in Egypt, he translated your spirit into the kingdom so that you could get across the Red Sea. And through that progressiveness of the pilgrimage through the wilderness, you are making the transformation of the mind. By Moses, the word, the law, the letter. And then when you come down to the Jordan, which is getting over this old carnal reasoning, right there when you get down to what Paul calls the moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the mystery's being finished, in a moment, he transfigures your body. He transfigures your body. Jesus stood on the mountain and the body was transfigured until it shined bright and glistening. So the first step is to be born again by faith, to have your spirit, your inner man, translated into the kingdom of God. And then your second step is to grow day by day, year after year, progressively speaking, grow in the knowledge and the grace of God as you change and transformate from your human mind, the beast mind, the fall of knowledge, the understanding of intellect, until you change bit by bit, glory to glory, from your mind and your carnal reasoning of death to the mind of Christ and the words of life and the thoughts of faith and eternal existence. And once that's completed, the church will be finished. It's a mystic work that you can't see. The ministers are to do it for the people as they believe from glory to glory, as they hear from light to light. And then down the end of the way, all of a sudden, when the last one comes in and the transformating work is finished, God is going to transfigure that quick, faster than the twinkling of an eye. The dead is going to get up out of the grave, and the body is going to be transfigured, and the earth is going to lose hope, and gravitation is going to lose hope, and the way they're going to go, for the dead in Christ shall rise first at the last trump. They which are alive and remain shall be changed immediately and caught up from terrestrial to celestial. They shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. But listen, this make and meeting, beloved friend, has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Watching the revelation of Jesus Christ for many years, watching it step by step, where it went, what it had to do with, it come to making. I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because when I say this, I think Macon is one of the most lovely places I know of, one of the most enjoyable places to be. But Macon has been a spiritual graveyard. If there's ever been a graveyard around the earth, not just the nation, but around the world, Macon has been a graveyard. But the people of Macon are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to shake themselves. They're beginning to come forth like the dead. In Macon, Georgia, it has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Not just because they are at this point, but because they are at this point because God has determined their bounds to the end, that Macon is typical of the hour and the moment of resurrection. They say that the boundary line of Jerusalem or Israel runs across Macon. Whatever Macon has to do with that very thing, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It has been a hard place, but it has to do with the last move of God. This tent here tonight is here because God placed it here to bring about one of the last things that he will ever do in the earth, to bring the resurrection. I know it's hard for you to understand, but to set a tent like this, and of course there's a few more poles that goes with this tent that we don't have, of about four more poles, but to set a sitting like this in an area like this, in the purchase of the tent, the very least, if you get a good price, the very least you can hope to do it for is $50,000. But the Lord provides and the Lord makes the way. And we're here because God sent us here, and because this has to do with the end of the world and the resurrection of the dead. When you look at me, the first thing you think is, Brother Pike, you're but a man. But did you know that Jesus was a man? Did you know that Elijah was a man? Did you know that Moses was a man? Did you know that God dwells in a man? Did you know that God walks and talks in mankind? And did you know that if a man will walk with God, he will know what God is doing? And the Bible said, it shall not come upon you unawares. Ye shall know when it's nigh. Ye shall know when it's even at the door. Did you know tonight it's even at the door? But did you know the Bible said the wicked shall not see good when it comes? They'll not see good. They'll out reason good. They won't believe it. But nevertheless, we who watch and pray, we know and we see. And we understand what we're saying. And that's why we say it. While they're playing tonight, let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, I've noticed from night to night here in the tent meeting as we preached, even as we get ready to close, I notice people still coming in. Night after night, they do that. The other night, just as we got ready to close, quite a number of people come in. It's beginning to get around that we're having a meeting here and that we're worshiping God. And there's the people that are concerned. Did you know that? They're concerned. Tonight, folks, I want to challenge your faith tonight. You don't know who you are. And you don't know what you are. And you don't know how great you are. Man has become so puny to be killed and thrown in a box. Wrecks, tornadoes, hundreds and thousands of them being massacred till it appears that man does a nothing and a nobody. But I want you to know you're a great and a mighty thing. David said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. You are a great instrument of God. Without God, you are nothing. You're no more than a heap of ashes. That's why God has let the things happen down through the years that has taken place to let you know that without Him, you're nothing but dust. Adam, without me, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But Adam, with me, thou art a God. Thou art eternal. Thou art eternally rich. Thou art great in knowledge. Great and mighty in understanding with me. But without me, then are ye nothing. By the revelation of Jesus, as I said last night, we have predicted local events, national events, international events, foretold the fall of great men's ministries and death of great men, foretold their deaths and what would happen to them because Jesus loved us and because Jesus cared. And tonight, God wants us to understand more. And I'm understanding more. He's told me many other things. I've spoke of them. Some of them's come to pass. And we're looking for more of them to come to pass. More of them. I see more of them. Tonight, lift your hands up with me, will you? I want you to think tonight, not in an exalted way, but in a way of humility. Oh God, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am an instrument. I am the instrumentality of God. I am an instrument of life made to live eternally. God, You intended for me to live eternally, to outshine the noonday sun. And Father, tonight I want my inheritance. I want my rights that Lucifer took from me. You restored them through Jesus Christ. And I want my rights. And Father, tonight, in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm claiming my rights. I'm claiming my rights. I'm claiming my inheritance tonight. Glory to God, I feel faith. I feel some people claiming their inheritance tonight. Did you know the men of old, when they got ready to die, death didn't take them. Men like Jacob just got ready to lay it down and go home, and they just pulled her feet up in the bed and they'd say, "Son, come over and let me kiss you goodbye. I think I'll go on home." And on the way, they went. You've got power tonight over death, folks. You say, "Brother Pike, do you actually believe that we have power over death?" He said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy." And the Bible said death is the last enemy to be conquered. Death is an enemy. It's not the last one for you to conquer. Jesus Christ conquered it for you. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in Jesus. Beloved friend, you've conquered death through Jesus Christ. You passed from death unto life. You say, "But Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die." I know that. I said the other night, I know that. But beloved friend, have you ever considered the fact that you're not a man when you're born again? You're not a man. When you was born to man, death was appointed unto you. But the Bible said to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. It's not appointed unto gods to die. Gods cannot die. It's appointed unto man to die. We're sons of God. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loose. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. We that believe are loosed from death. We pass from death unto life. We shall never come into condemnation. For it is not appointed unto sons of God to die. It is appointed unto men to die. But we pass from death unto life. You love Jesus? Behold, I show you a mystery. Some of us shall discover that it is not appointed unto them to die. There shall come a great discovery that it is not appointed unto sons of God to die. And the generation shall find God. And they shall overcome the enemy. And they shall bypass the grave. And they shall go off to glory. You love Jesus, beloved friend? Let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Can you believe tonight? The psychic said, some people are going to think different. Some people are going to think different. Medical science is beginning to think different. They're finding out this body they thought wasn't too much too. They thought it was just good for a few hundred years. They're beginning to find out that just as it was in the days of Noah, Enoch, Methuselah, that it could last many hundreds of years. It not only can last 80 years, it lasted 800 and 900 years. And beloved friend, it can last an eternity. It can last an eternity. If Adam and Eve had stayed in the presence of the Shekinah, they would have lived throughout eternity. And tonight, did you know that we're better off than they are? We're not in the presence of the Shekinah. We are born of the Shekinah. Lucifer cannot take us away from the Shekinah. We cannot fall from that lofty, glorious place that God has prepared for us, because it is interwoven with us, and we are one with Him, and He is in us, and we are in Him. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful consolation. What a glorious moment. You say, "Brother Pike, do you believe that?" I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Not only that, but it works. It works. Glory to God, it works. While they're playing tonight, I want you to step out. If you need something from God, I want you to just step up here with us for a few minutes. Let's don't be in a real hurry to go tonight now. Every night we've tried to let you go, but look, friend, the Bible said take time to be holy. Did you know there was a man in the Bible? He took a few minutes for God. God gave him 15 years, added 15 years to his life. Did you know you could take 15 minutes away from God and be in a hurry to go from the presence of God, and God may take 15 years away from you? Did you know there's a lot of people in the grave tonight that didn't have time for God? That's why they had a wreck at an early age. That's why they died. That's why they went out. That's why they have problems. That's why they have heartaches. They didn't have time for God. But tonight, let's take time to be holy. Let's give God a little time. And if we do, God will bless us. While they're playing, can you come tonight? Can you come tonight? I like that thought of living eternally, don't you? I like that. I never did like the idea of going to the grave anyway. I never did like the thoughts of somebody throwing dirt in my face. I never did like that. I like that thought of living eternally. You say, Brother Pike, you'll never do it. Somebody's going to do it. I might as well try as anybody. You know what? Millionaires in the world tonight. A lot of people say, well, I'll never be a millionaire. You can try. That's what made the other fellow a millionaire. He tried. That's what kept the other fellow from being a millionaire. He didn't try. So tonight, you might as well try. You got a chance. You might as well try. God's no respect to person. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto you, Brother Pike. I say unto all. You love him tonight? Let's lift our hands again in love and tenderness. Let's love him again. If a man was giving away $100 bills tonight, everybody'd want one of them. But if you're not going to give anything but eternal life away, can't catch your interest. After all, what's eternal life? But man, think about that $100 bill, what I could buy with it. You see, people evaluate wrong. Their thinking is wrong. They're all mixed up in their thinking. Somebody would say, we're having a football game. Thousands of people rush over to hear him holler, roll around in the mud. Say, folks are giving away eternal life over yonder. Well, I ain't got time to go right now. Maybe we'll get it as we go by some other time. That's the way people think. Foolish. Foolishness. Satan has messed up their minds. That's why people are on dope. That's why they're popping pills all the time. Satan has messed up their minds. They can't think straight anymore. See, they can't think straight anymore. Satan is the prince over the powers that's in the air. I said this last night. It would be good if some of you could absorb this. Satan, Lucifer, a fallen angel, he's the prince of the powers that's in the air. He causes the storms. He causes the earthquakes. He afflicts your body. He messes up your mind. He causes poverty. Lucifer does this. The Bible says someday God will bind him and put him in the bottomless pit, and all of the earth will be at peace. All of the earth will be quiet. There won't be any turmoils and wrongs because God will bind him and do away with him. Everything will be peaceful. Lucifer, he's the prince of the powers that's in the air. The demon powers that's in the air. He's the prince, the ruler over. He's the prince of this world. But not only is he the prince of the powers of the air, when it comes to the demon powers, he is the prince of the atomic particles that's in the air. He is the prince of the atomic powers. That's why science is making such headway. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. They're making things to destroy the earth. I'll destroy them that destroys morals and virtues. He is the prince of the atomic particles, of the powers and the minute things of the elements. He is the ruler over them. He controls the elements. That's why he can afflict your body. Your body is a composition of the elements, of the atomic particles. You come from the dust. And as long as you're related to the dust, as long as you're relative to the earth, Lucifer can inflict things upon you. He can cause complication in your physical being. He can interrupt your systematic order. He can do that because he is the prince over the powers that's in the air. He is what science calls mind over matter. It is Lucifer's mind that is over matter. God has put it under his control. It is from the tree of knowledge. He is the prince over this world. And he can do it any way he wants to. But did you know his mind is not the true mind over matter? God's mind is the mind that created all form of matter. Lucifer can't create one tiny element. All he can do is interrupt, change around, disrupt, cause problems, roaring of the seas, interrupt the system of God. But he can't create one thing because it's God's mind that created matter. It is the sons of God that have the mind of Christ. They're the ones that have the power of creation because they have the power of mind over matter. Lucifer only has it by appointment during the spirit of grace, in that he has control over matter. And he can inflict punishment upon your body, cause all this sickness. But brother, you have the power of God. You have the mind of Christ. You have the faith of Jesus. And through that faith, you have the superior mind over matter. You can just speak that thing right out. You can drive the interference right out. You can drive an evil spirit right back. You can just do away with a deteriorating part of your body. You have the power to do that as the sons of God. Tonight, you're already the sons of God, beloved. Already you're the sons of God. Let me say this for your consolation tonight. You know, we're so afraid that we're going to sin. Sons and daughters of God, you cannot sin. Don't be afraid that you're going to sin. To be afraid that you're going to sin against God is a weakness. That's a trick of Satan to weaken your faith. Don't be afraid that you're going to sin. You cannot sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. The Bible said the seed of God remaineth in him. It remaineth in him. It's in there day and night. It never leaves him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. The Bible said he that sinneth is of the devil. He's never seen God. He that is of God cannot sin. For a son of God is born of God. And a God's son cannot sin. Therefore, you don't need to worry about sinning. What you need to be concerned about is redeeming your body. The Lord has translated your spirit into his kingdom. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. There'll never be a spot, wrinkle, or blemish on you. I said the other night, if there was one tiny spot no bigger than the point of a pin, the finest it was ever honed, God would reject you. Because he's coming back after church without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You're his bride. What you need to be concerned about, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit in your inner man unto the day of the redeeming of your body. But what you need to do is be concerned about redeeming your body. Redeeming your body. See, the Bible said that evil one toucheth you not. From the day you're born in the kingdom, from that time he's never touched you anymore. For he that is born of God keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. He doesn't have to ask God to keep him. He keeps himself. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers that could spot or blemish you. He keeps himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He toucheth him not. Never does he touch you. Be concerned about redeeming this body. Bring this body under subjection. Pull this body in. Change this body. Sanctify this body. Redeem this body, that you may be holy in body and in spirit. that you may be presented to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit, so that you can be a vessel under honor and do something for Jesus. Get this body under control. Stop it from sitting around watching evil things on TV, reading old books that's filthy. Get it away from the radios of rock and roll. Get it away from just wanting to eat and drink and frolic. Get it away from the beaches and the things of this world. Get it away from the racetracks. Get it away from the sports. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. He that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. Get your mind on Jesus day and night. This is the land of Esau. This is the world of Esau. You're just passing through. God's give this world to Esau. All of that belongs to Esau. Let them enjoy the ball games. Let them enjoy the frolics. Let them enjoy the world. That's all they'll ever get. That's all they'll ever get. They die and then they perish and they go down into the deep pit. But your sons and daughters of God, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Be a holy people. Be a godly people. Those are beasts. Those are not sons of God. They're beasts. They're just beasts. They perish with the earth. They'll never have life like you've got because they're not gods. They're no more than your dogs. Did you know that? Those people, Jesus referred to them as dogs. The dog returns to his vomit. He referred to them as swines. He said the swine goes back to the wallowing in the mire. And they're no more than dogs. You know, you take a dog, you have to say, give me your paw. You have to teach him everything he knows. You have to run him through a school. But not a son of God. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. You don't have to teach them to set up and to sit down. They have an enlightenment that comes from God. They're gods. They have an intuition from the inner man that enlightens them and makes them to understand. You love Jesus. There's a difference, a world of difference. Let's lift our hands again and love him. While we're standing here tonight, maybe there's something wrong with your body and you'd like for us to pray for you. While we're standing here, if you'd like for me to lay hands on you, you'll come right up this ramp right here. We'll pray for you. Be glad to pray for you. We prayed for one or two people last night. We've not prayed for very many people in this meeting. He's waiting toward the latter part of the meeting to build a little faith because I haven't felt the faith that I want to feel in this meeting. I have felt a good reception. People have been real good. They've listened good. They've not been rebellious. They've received real good. But I hadn't felt the faith that I want to feel here. I felt faith Sunday night real good. And then it seemed to kind of dwane away. But tonight, if you'll come up here, we'll pray for you. If there's something that you've got that you'd like for us to lay hands on you and pray for you for, we'll be glad to pray for you tonight. We're going to tarry for just a moment or two to see if there's anybody at all. All right. While these one or two come tonight, I want to pray with them. And I want you to believe with me tonight. There's a reason for them being up here or they wouldn't come. They're either troubled in spirit, they're either bound with something, or they've got some kind of affliction, or they are asking God for something. They're expecting God to do something in their life. There's a reason for them coming up here. So tonight as we pray, I want you to pray with us. And I want you to believe with us. And I want to ask God to do something for him. I really believe in my heart that in this meeting, that God is going to meet the needs of some of these people in this meeting. I really believe that. Brother Jim, since you're standing right there, you can pray for me. Or pray with me for these sisters right here. Let's pray together, can we? Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as we lay hands on these sisters tonight, I do ask thee in the name of Jesus, Holy Father, to look down from out of heaven, encourage faith tonight. We believe, Father, We believe. Heal tonight. I feel the healing right now. I feel the anointing right now, God. Hallelujah. I feel that. Don't you feel that? I feel the quickening power of God. Can you say hallelujah? Lift your hands and let's love God. I'm not playing. I felt the quickening power of God right then. I felt the Spirit of God. She felt it too. Praise God. Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, tonight as we pray for this sister, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'll hear from heaven. Heal, Father. I feel your blessing and anointing tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in Jesus' name. I feel that quickening right now. How do you feel the quickening of God? You need to pray through if you can't feel it. I feel it tonight. Praise God, I feel it. Praise God. Father, as I pray for this sister tonight, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to look down from heaven. I believe whatever the need is, Father, grant it. Grant it in Jesus' name. Right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant it. Hallelujah. I feel your quickening now, Jesus. Lord God, heal this body. Deliver this person. Whatever the disease might be, whatever the request might be, you know, Father, tonight, give a deliverance in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, touch this little one tonight in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. Let the glory of God come down tonight. Let the Spirit of God be here tonight. Lord, heal tonight and deliver tonight. Move oppression of mind. Grant it, Jesus. Father, by your Son tonight, let the faith of this audience be high. From night to night, help them to believe, Jesus. Father, help us not to have an evil heart of unbelief, but to believe in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, we need to believe, folks. We need to believe. The Bible said, beware lest coming back, God find within you an evil heart of unbelief. Did you know God calls a heart of unbelief an evil heart? The thing that overthrowed Eve in the garden was unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to touch this girl, Father. Touch it tonight in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit of God be here. I know that it's here, Father. I feel it on my body tonight. Father, heal. Help them to have faith to receive tonight. Build this faith up, Father, in Macon, Georgia. Move here in Macon, Georgia. Father, build the faith here. Oh, God, Lord, this place needs faith. Lord, you need to move, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, you need to move in the areas of Macon, Georgia to give faith. I feel a low ebb of faith, Father, in the entire area across Macon. And I ask you to lift it up, encourage people's faith. Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? If I could feel the faith here in Macon equal to the reception that I feel in Macon, God would do some wonderful things here. Because I feel a good reception. I feel a good spirit. Every night, the people have been very receptive. But in this area, I feel faith way down at a low end. A brother come the other night that was standing on the platform. Not on the platform, he was right out here. He was a minister, and he said, Brother Pye, he said, faith is mighty low in this area. But you know what? We can build faith. You say, Brother Pike, can you actually build faith? The Bible said building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. If we start praying in the Holy Ghost, we can build up our faith. Did you know that? Come right up here, sister. Tonight, I want you to try building up your faith, folks. Make an effort to believe. Make an effort to believe. You know, Brother Oral Roberts made a statement one time, I really believe. He said, some people are too lazy to believe. He said, they're just too lazy to make an effort. you know, to really believe. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you will touch this person. Whatever the need is tonight, I want you to heal. I want you to heal. God, you can reveal it. And Lord, if you don't, you can still heal it. Whatever it is, I want you to heal. I feel faith. I feel her faith, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I felt the Holy Ghost, and she did too. Praise God. You love Jesus? Praise God. Praise God. I want you to pray with me. This sister right here is standing with tears streaming down her cheeks. She wants prayer. She's concerned. Tonight, if you're concerned, I want you to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, while we're praying, you know the need of this life. Oh, Jesus, I feel you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Heal tonight. Forgive tonight. Touch this body. Touch it in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little one tonight. Touch him in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, touch this body tonight. Touch this heart and touch this life. And heal in the name of Jesus. Grant it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Heal. Heal. Deliver. And I feel you doing it, Jesus, right now. Right now. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God, don't you? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Father, touch this little baby tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this body. Touch it in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Moved by your spirit, mighty God of heaven. Deliver, heal, and save and forgive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say amen. I feel God doing something tonight. You'd lift your faith up a little. Just lift your faith up a little. Worship God tonight. God will do something. God will deliver some of you people from evil spirits. There's people that's coming in and out of this tent. I felt them from night to night. They're bound with evil spirits and they need deliverance. God will cast the devil out. If you'll just, you saints of God, just lift your faith up a little. Come right on up here, sister. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name that you touch this sister tonight. You know the need. You know the need. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, hallelujah, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in Jesus' name. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Don't you feel that tonight? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus tonight. I feel Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Lift your hands up and love Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this little lady tonight. Heal her. Heal her little body. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Keeping me alive. Keeping
praise
me
God.
Alive.
I want you to pray with me.
Me alive.
This sister really needs a touch for her nerves real bad.
Oh,
and I want you to pray with me that God will really do something for him tonight.
Keeping me alive.
Can you lift your hands up with me?
Keeping me alive.
Father, you've seen the courageous faith of this sister. Father, and she's won out year after year in the battle against Satan. And Lord, she's going to win out this time. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. I feel you doing it right now. Hallelujah. I feel her faith going out to you, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant it. Lord, strengthen. I feel you strengthening. Deliver, heal, forgive. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. You know what? As the tears drip off of her cheeks tonight, I felt God do something for her. I felt God strengthen her tonight. I felt faith from her heart go up to Jesus tonight. It's wonderful to be sincere in God. Feel His wonderful touch. Our sister Beachy, she's here somewhere tonight. We prayed for her last night. And my wife was telling me today, said Sister Beachy said she rested better last night than in a long time. Is that right, sister? Praise God. That's so wonderful. I told Betty after we got home, I said, God touched that sister. I said, when she come up, I said, God touched her. God touched her. I felt God touch some people last night. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to do something for this sister. Encourage your faith. Lord God of heaven, you can do anything. And I know that you will if we'll just believe. And I do believe, Father, encourage our faith. Encourage our faith that we might give glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now. Right now. I feel your virtue, Father. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah.
Yes, I've got Jesus.
I feel the virtue of the Lord, don't you? I feel the virtue. When the little woman got near Jesus, Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of my body. I feel that wonderful virtue. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, you know the need of this life and of this heart.
At the cross, at the cross.
I ask you to move by your spirit. Hallelujah. I feel you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel God here tonight. I feel God here tonight. Praise God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. While I was praying then, I felt a man's spirit, it come in as I was praying then. And I'm going to ask him to come up here if he will. I wonder if Omen would come up here. Would you, Omen? I felt Omen's spirit as I was praying there then. First time out of the five services. But I felt his spirit then. And I want us to pray tonight with Omen as he comes up here. If you love Jesus, lift your hands up tonight. You know, God is the Father of spirits, isn't that right? He looks down from heaven. Praise God. I feel faith already. How you doing, Norman? Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord. Father, in the name of the Son of God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Son of God, Father. I thank you for your blessings, for your spirit, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your greatness. Deliver, O God, and heal, and save and forgive. Break every yoke, every bondage. Heal the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you feel the presence of God? I felt God do something, Brother Norman. I felt God do something then. Do you feel Jesus? Hallelujah. You know, just one touch can change your entire life. Did you know that? One touch from God can change your entire life. Just one touch. Hallelujah. Father, you see the tears in this woman's eyes tonight. I want you to stretch out your hand and heal. Father, heal. Deliver tonight. Sanctify anew in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's wonderful to see God do things. Different reactions, different people. Sometimes the Lord heals. Sometimes He delivers from evil spirits. Sometimes He moves oppression. Sometimes you just pass on through and you don't get nothing because of unbelief. Like Brother Robert said one time, he prayed for a little boy. They got the little boy up out of the wheelchair. He began to walk and the crowd went wild. He said he was having one of his biggest meetings over in Ohio. They brought a little boy in a wheelchair. They wanted the little boy to get up. He fell flat on his face. And the little boy didn't get his healing. He said it put him in an embarrassing predicament. But there was nothing he could do about it. And like Brother Branham said one time, prayed for people and God had healed them. Then they brought a man, he said, to Oral Roberts. Oral prayed, the man didn't get healed. They brought him to Brother Branham. Brother Branham prayed. Brother Branham said, but he didn't get healed. They took him to Mayo's clinic. Said he got healed. Brother Branham said he couldn't explain it. But it's one thing about it. If we'll believe, God will do something. God will do something. One person will get healed of cancer. Another person will die with cancer. One person that ordinarily would die gets healed. Praise God. Father, heal this little girl in the name of Jesus. Touch her little body. Touch this little one in Jesus' name tonight. And Father, touch this person tonight with your spirit. May your great loving spirit come down upon her tonight, Jesus. May she feel your presence and your power. May she yield her heart to you and your life to you, her life to you, Jesus. Knowing that that's the only true way is to follow Christ. Hallelujah.
Isn't Jesus, how are you, my sister? Lord, wonderful?
Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver in Jesus' name. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of the Son of God. Wonderful. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Father, right now. Heal this body. Deliver this body from every evil, unclean spirit. Every power of evil that would hover over this life. In Jesus' name. I feel you doing it, Father. In Jesus' name. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel God delivering. I feel God delivering in Jesus' name.
Saving me.
Hallelujah.
From all sin and shame, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His holy name. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace.
The sister says she's got a bad condition, got to have an operation. But she said she wants God to do something for her. You know, we prayed for people in a number of cases. That according to their reports, I told them not to have the operation that God had healed them. And they went on and had it anyway. And it came up negative. After the x-rays had showed that they had to have it. Showed the condition. We prayed and God removed it. And when they went to have the operation, it came up negative. Now, let's pray for her. Praise God. Father, praise God. I remember when this woman, Lord, when the x-ray showed spots on the lungs, but after prayer, they were gone. Now, Father, tonight, the same faith, the same healing Hallelujah. The same Jesus, the same Holy Ghost can heal. And I feel your healing now. Heal, Father. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal. Father, heal. Do away with this condition. Do away with it. Mighty God is he. Praise God. I feel God's making a change in the body right now. I really do, Sister Watts. I believe God made a change in the body right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, touch these little ones in Jesus' name. Bless them tonight as I lay hands on them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Father, as I pray for the sister tonight in Jesus' name, I want you to heal and deliver, forgive sins tonight. Look down from heaven, Father. It's important, Lord, that we make that divine contact with God. Heal tonight. Send healing from out of heaven. Send it from out of heaven, for healing can only come from Thee. Send it from heaven. Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. I feel Him doing something, Sister Carolyn. Praise God. I feel God touching your body tonight. Touch this little sister. Touch her. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Touch Him in Jesus' name. Touch this little body. In Jesus' name. Touch Him tonight, Holy Father. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight, I want you to stretch out a healing hand, Father. I want you to heal tonight. Lord God, remember the service that the brother has given to you in the past. Remember his concern, the problems of his home. I want you to do something, Jesus. I want you to do something, Jesus. Jesus, your name right now. I feel faith. I feel faith. Father, I feel faith right now. Hallelujah. I feel faith. Granted. Granted. Honor Tommy's faith tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Praise God. Father, tonight, you know the sacrifice of this life and the concern. I want you to look down from heaven tonight in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Have your way tonight, Father. We come boldly before the throne by the blood, the name of the Son of God tonight. I feel you blessing this person. Bless. Bless, Jesus. Lord, heal. Save. Forgive, hear, honor, in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus. Praise God, sister. I felt that go all over me. Father, bless Gracie tonight. Touch Gracie tonight. Let the great, wonderful Spirit of God work a work in Gracie's life tonight. Do something special, Father, in this life. Holy Father, heal and forgive. Grant it. I feel you doing it, Jesus. Grant it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? You know, I feel faith here. I wish we could press in a little bit more. But I feel faith here tonight. Father, touch this little one tonight. Touch his body tonight. Heal his body. Help him tonight in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Grant it. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I want you to bless Bill tonight. Father, do something special tonight. Hear from heaven, Jesus. Father, you know the request. Honor it. Lord, you've honored Bill's faith so far. Nothing has gone wrong. Father, we believe in Jesus' name. We believe. We believe. Hallelujah. I feel faith, Father. I feel faith. I feel faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. I really felt your faith, Bill. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. I feel faith here tonight. I feel God doing something here tonight. I feel Him honoring faith tonight. Come over here, brother. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, as I lay hands upon my brother, I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to forgive tonight. I ask you to deliver. Many troubles, afflictions, problems. But you understand, Jesus. Lord, when no one else does, you do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant it, Jesus. Lord, grant it. Lord, these are the sheep of your pasture. Feed them. Lead them. Lead them to fountains of living water. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, bless this little one tonight. Touch his little heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, you know the heartaches and sorrows of this heart. And dear God, there's nothing that can change that but God in heaven. And I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to work it out. And I believe you will work it out, Jesus. I'm asking you to work it out. I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. Hallelujah. I know you're going to do it. Grant healing. Grant blessings. Grant strength. Understand. Undertake for David tonight. Undertake. Undertake in the name of Jesus. I know you will. I know you will. In Jesus' name. I know you will. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Lift your hands and love the Lord, will you? Praise God. I know you will, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Can you sing it with me? Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this little one, Jesus. Touch this little one. Touch this little one. And touch Stevie tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, the name of the Lord, the name of your Son, heal, forgive, honor Stevie. Oh, dear God. Lord, as you look at his labor, his sacrifice, God reward him by the sacrifice of your Son tonight. Lord, knowing that he's done it for your glory. Hallelujah, for your glory. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grant it, Father. Grant it. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, tonight, I ask you to touch my brother. Let your great spirit be here. Stretch out your hand tonight, Jesus. Be near. Heal. Save, forgive, deliver, prosper, anoint, hear from heaven. Hear, oh God. Work out the problems. Work them out. Jesus, Jesus, hear us. Hear us, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray for our brother tonight. Oh, God, I want you to do something for the brother. Do something special for the brother tonight. Hear from heaven, Father, in the name of the Son of God. In the name of the Son of God. Grant it. Grant it. Hear, oh, God. Lift his faith up. Encourage his faith. Help us to believe. I believe. I believe, Jesus. Help us to believe. Heal, save, and deliver. Anoint this brother with your power. with your mind. Lord, with your spirit. Do it, Jesus. I feel you doing it now. Do it for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little lady tonight. Heal her little body. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I want you to touch Jim tonight. Do something extra special for Jimmy. Lord, you have done something extra special for Jimmy. I want you to do something else. Hear us because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel your anointing. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Heavenly Father, right now. I feel the anointing right now. Grant it. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant it, oh God. Hear, oh God. Hear. Heal. Heal. And I feel you healing, Jesus. Father, heal tonight. Completely heal this body. Heal it. In the name of the Son of God. In the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this body tonight. Touch this heart. God, move every hindrance, every affliction, every condemnation. Lift faith up. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I feel your quickening, Father. Lord, lift our faith up. Heal and hear from heaven tonight. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee tonight. The name of the Son of God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your hands up and let's love Jesus. Can you love Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little one tonight by your glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Heaven someday. One watching breath. Walking in the light of the Lord. Let's sing another little chorus together. How many of you are glad you're here tonight? I want you to pray for this service tomorrow. Now, I'm praying for these services, and God's meeting with me, and God's visiting with me, and God's talking with me. And I want you to pray with me. I feel like some of you are praying. I really do. I feel like some of you are praying, and I want you to pray with me that God will do something in these services, and we'll get a report. The Bible teaches that they got a good report by faith. And we'll get a good report if we'll just work together. All right, let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key. Give me another key. A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, oh, stream is flowing from Calvary. I want to pray for this little sister right here. Will you come back up here, sister? How many believe there's a stream that's flowing from Calvary tonight? It'll make you whole tonight. It'll make you clean tonight. Praise God. Father, you see this heart. And you've seen the cry of this heart. This little sister wanted you to take notice to her, Father. And you have been noticing her all the time. And I want you to do something special for her life. Encourage her.
I feel the anointing right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
A stream is flowing from Calvary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. This little sister had more faith than anybody that came across the platform tonight. She's been standing out there wanting God to touch her heart. God to do something for her, and I just kept waiting. Didn't say nothing to her. But she's offered more faith tonight and reached further out to God than anybody that walked across the platform. Folks, why don't we believe? Why don't we believe? Let's lift our hands and love Jesus tonight. Can you? Just love Him, sister. There's a stream that's flowing tonight. It's flowing for you tonight. Jesus has got something for you tonight. He wants to do something for you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So tonight, if you can believe, if you can believe, hallelujah. I want you to slip your hands up with me tonight now. I want to pray for the audience tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray God heal you. Because I believe God's going to heal here. I really do, folks. I do. I believe He's healing and delivering. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask Thee, O God, to move by Thy Spirit. May Your power be here tonight, Father. May every yoke be broken tonight. May the Spirit of God reach out here tonight. God to heal. God to save. God to deliver. God to move by Your greatness tonight. Father, heal these people. Father, break the yoke off of these people tonight. Move by Your Spirit, Father. Meet the needs of these people tonight. God, I'm asking You not only to meet the needs of the people here in the tent, but God, move throughout Macon, Georgia tonight. Move throughout the city tonight. For there's many needs, Father, throughout this city. I want You to move throughout the city, out through the highways, God, in the byways of Macon, Georgia. And dear God, start a revival in the hearts of these people and make these people to be stirred, dear God, in their beds at night. Fix it to where they can't sleep at night, God, until they call upon the name of Jesus. Father, cause them to be restless in their beds at night. Cause them to be restless throughout Macon, Georgia tonight. Cause a stirring, oh God, until they're moved, God, to do something for Thee. And until they are awakened, Father, to the great call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, heal, save, and forgive, and awake this area with revival. Send a resurrection, Father. Send a resurrection, Father. Send awakening. I pray Thee, send an awakening through this area tonight. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah.